I want you to get together.
Hello, everyone. So it's a Friday morning, and as I said, I'm going to continue my series of the Tips for Truth. There's a bit of a revamp on the old series, which was recorded terrible audio quality and video quality on my mobile phone while driving about a year or two ago. And rolling right on with this, this one's going to be a tough one. This one's going to be really hard for people to kind of hear. I mean, I go through the old comments and the old videos and see kind of like the main contentions, I mean, issues people have with this primarily. And the tip is that you can't save everyone. Some people are just not supposed to know. And maybe supposed to know might be the wrong phraseology, but some people just aren't going to get there. It's kind of what you need to come to terms with. And this is really hard. This is tough because you want your loved ones and your friends, you know, your family to come to the truth. And sometimes they just don't want to know. And they're probably never in their entire life going to accept it or get to know or see beyond the surface level of reality, which is presented to them as the truth, which is the lie. Now, another thing I think I need to make very clear here. I think a lot of people get confused with what I'm doing. People, and quite rightfully so, when I'm saying see the truth or tips for truthers or, you know, getting people to see it, they think I am simply just talking about Christianity. And I'm not. I'm making a distinction that there are truther stuff, truther topics about the corruptions of the world, the evil people doing evil things to control us, etc., you know, and secret societies and the rest. And then there's the truth of Jesus Christ and his salvation and the rest of that as well. You can separate these for the sake of the tips I'm giving you. Because you might not be trying to reach people with the salvation of Jesus Christ and the good news. I mean, that's a whole other separate thing that people are going to reject you for before you've even told them about the control in the world and the conspiracy, you know. Now, I know, and many people listening who follow me for a long time know, that the conspiracy is Christian in nature. It is the biblical narrative. The thing they are hiding from us is the truth of Christ, and that is why we even have a conspiracy. We know this. But there are many people in the conspiracy world who have not got there. They're not even close to finding the truth in Christ yet. They're still swimming through the rest of it, you know. And I believe they will get there because they have done something very fundamental, which has to be done first before you can get to the end stage of conspiracy research, which, like I said, is the truth of Christ. And to get there, you have to actually have made a conscious decision to seek after the truth. So, again, a lot of these tips can be applied not simply just to trying to reach people with Christ. It can just be trying to tell your loved ones about the banking corruption or the medical corruption or the media corruption and control, the Satanism in media, let's say, or the, you know, the political left, right, you know, Hegelian dialectic principles used against us and all the basic worldly corruption and conspiracies. That's hard enough to tell people. And that's something you could apply these tips to just as much as trying to tell people about Christ as well. The two different things, you know, and we know they come together as one holistic image because we've been doing this for a long time. But for those who are new to conspiracy, they're probably still just in the worldly corruption stuff right now, and they haven't reached the Christ stuff yet. So these tips are unanimous throughout the whole process. So I just need to make that clear. So I think a lot of people have conflated the two all the time in the comments and are confused what I'm making tips for exactly. Because it's, you know, when I say something like, be careful who you tell, which was the first tip, people then applied that to me saying, I will tell everybody about Christ. You can't stop me, you shill, telling people not to tell the truth about Christ. We should proclaim it from the hilltops. And it's kind of like, well, yeah, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about all the other stuff. Like, if you've conflated the two together immediately because in your head, and I understand, the only truth is Christ. And I'm giving you tips for truthers. So I can see how you've got there. I get it, okay? But not everybody has got there. And not everybody's trying to tell their loved ones simply just about Jesus yet. They're trying to tell them about everything else because even they haven't got to that point. So have that context before you make your comment. That's all I'm trying to say there, first of all. And I'm not saying don't tell people about Christ. Okay, so when I say for this tip in particular, not everybody is supposed to know. You can't save everybody. That isn't me saying Christ's work isn't enough and we shouldn't be trying to save everybody and tell them the good news about salvation. What I'm trying to say is not everybody's going to learn about the truth of the conspiracy in the world, the corruption. Some people are just too closed off and are not going to ever in their entire lifetime open up to know this. But they could open their hearts to God or Christ somehow by some miracle without learning all this stuff. That can still happen. So they're not synonymous with each other. So please understand that. This comes with understanding conspiracy in general. There are factions within the culture of conspiracy that don't agree with each other. There's the whole New Age sect of conspiracy researchers out there who think we're under a deception being Christian. You know, and they think that we're just completely deceived, believing something that was created to control us, you know. And I would say they've got it drastically wrong. But that's how it works. There are factions. There's Christian truthers, there's New Age truthers, there's alt-right truthers, there's liberal 1% anonymous truthers, there's the whole the internet Q truthers, shall we say, the political truthers, there's the whistleblowers, there's the the ex-military truthers, there's all sorts of truthers of different types and kinds, and these tips apply to all of them. Okay, not simply, I'm not discriminating these tips. So, and there's a bit of an opening rant here, and I'm going to get to the point now, but I feel like that these distinctions do have to be made, because people get confused with what I'm trying to do here. I'm not trying to stop you telling people the truth, or to, in some way, you know, make you passive or hindered. No, we should be striving every day to try and communicate these things to people as best we can. But while we do that, you're going to have to come to terms with and learn to deal with the truth that some people will never accept. And there is biblical precedence for this. And I think the "seek ye shall find, knock and the door will be opened for you" can be applied here. The difference between someone like me or yourself who's been doing this for years and has gone down all the rabbit holes and has come to many conclusions on things and begun our journeys, and we're still on our journeys, you know, but we knocked. We asked for this. We sincerely, within ourselves, said to God or ourselves, wherever you were on your journey at the time, I want to know the truth. What's going on? Something's wrong. Something is off with existence, and I need to know what it is. And because you sincerely made that decision to do that, you found the truth because you were looking for it. And there are many truths you discover, many truths which lead you to new truths which trump the old truth and make that understand that was also not what you thought it was, because it actually is about this. And it's a process, a long process, you know, to ironing out a holistic image of what the conspiracy is and what the nature of reality actually is, and our relationship to God, you know. And then it gets to Jesus and salvation after that, and that does come with finding the truth. If you haven't taken that step yet, that's your final step. You need to look into that. That's my personal little bit of extra advice thrown in there for my personal bias. Look into the Christ stuff, trust me. You'll find the truth there in the end, the final truth that makes sense of all the other truths. But the point is, we are truth seekers. Okay, we have taken the choice to look. If an individual hasn't made that conscious decision to do that, you can't tell them, and they'll never accept it or even hear it or even understand what you're talking about. They're given over to their delusions, and they're going to stay there. Okay, they're not going to see from your perspective. They're not going to let go of the worldly things they've gained or that they've built, or the knowledge base that they pride themselves on, or the things they've learned through university, and the positions they've created for themselves in the world that contradict the truth. You know, they're not going to deny any of it because they haven't in their hearts chosen to open that door to knock. They're not interested. They don't want to know. And they're happy being where they are. They haven't looked at the world and thought something's wrong. In fact, more often than not, these people who are closed off think everything's perfect and everything's going exactly how it should be for them personally, and they're happy in their bubble. And you're not going to pop it. You're not going to do it, okay? They have to make the choice first. And it's kind of when it comes to the Christian spin on all this, we don't save people. Okay, we do our best to go out there and try and make disciples. We preach the word of the gospel. We preach the truth as we can, and we get creative with how we explain the truth to people, like I'm doing with the Little Season stuff or the Nephilim clown stuff. We do what we can, but they make the choice. Okay, to whether or not to let Jesus into their hearts, into their minds, into their body, let the Holy Spirit do its thing. They make the choice. We just point them in the right direction. So I don't save anybody. Jesus Christ saves people. And we need to learn, you know, not only from a Christian perspective, that we don't save people and you can't save everyone. You can't, you know. God chooses as well. This is something else that I think a lot of people don't really understand as well. Though many of us made the choice ourselves and asked God, God is also doing his thing and choosing who he's going to let see and when. So everything's in his time as well. And we have to kind of humble ourselves and realize we have very little to do with it in the long term and in the bigger picture stuff. We are signposts as truthers to encourage people to go in that direction, but we can't make them. We can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink, as the classic saying goes. It's the same principle. And I do have another biblical quote here. And let me just pull that up quickly. It's from Matthew 22:14. And it's, many are called, but few are chosen. And this is from the parable of the wedding banquet. And what it kind of means is, you know, the king sends his servants to invite people to a wedding feast, but many refuse. And then the king commands his servants to invite anyone they find, and lots of people come. But then the man sees somebody who's not wearing wedding clothes and sends him away. And there's like it's a parable for the idea that the wedding banquet, it seems like everyone's given the opportunity to come. The king gives everybody a chance. Many refuse. And when the chosen people he wanted, and originally his original bride, you know, rejects him, he sends his servants, we'll go to the rest of the world and invite everybody else as well. Then it's open now. But even then, many do turn up, but some of them don't. They're taking advantage. They're not doing it right. They don't want to. They want to take the full advantage of the offer, but not actually, you know, have it in their hearts that they're actually in it and they actually want to be there. And this is why God is doing this work in people. This is why I feel like some people just aren't ready yet, and God has a lot to do in their lives before they are in a position where they can start to knock or ask and receive. You know, they're not actually in truth-seeking mode yet, and things need to happen to inspire them to get there. And kind of in a way, that's our job. Our job is to inspire people to want to know. Which is why it's up to us to be good ambassadors for the truth and present ourselves in a way that makes people think, well, that person seems to have it all together. Maybe they're onto something. What if they've been listening to and watching that's made them, you know, have a good head on their shoulders? And if we aren't presenting ourselves in a good way, people are going to look at us instead and go, well, that guy looks absolutely nuts. I want nothing to do with the information he's been seeing. So I don't end up like them. You don't want to be in that kind of scenario. You don't want to be the guy that's causing that kind of reaction, do you? So you've got to be careful, you know, and the point is, not everybody will be saved. You know, many are called, but few are actually chosen. No, the parable, it says here, the parable suggesting that God calls everyone to respond to his invitation to live by Jesus' example, to help others and persevere, but it also suggests that people can be chosen as well, like Abraham and Moses. So God's working twofold here. And I think he is working a work in every single person who's alive. And again, he's done the work. If you're in the truth of movement, what I'm saying is you're probably on the process of having that work done, but you may not have got to the truth in Christ yet. And when we wake up, we want to just tell everybody everything all the time. And we want to save our loved ones, don't we? And we want them to see the corruption and the poison and the genocide that's being put upon us all. And, you know, they hear all this stuff, you know, and they might not necessarily even reject it. But they say, well, you know, what can I do about it? then they move on with their lives and get on and pretend it isn't, they haven't been told, or they might say something like, yeah, but that doesn't affect me. It's like, yeah, but I'm not brainwashed. And it's kind of the delusional. They don't think it matters to them, all this stuff. It's kind of like, oh, what does it matter? I still got to go to work anyway and do what I need to do. You know, I've got to feed the kids and I've got to do this and I've got to take them to football. And I'm like, I don't have time to look at all this kind of stuff. It doesn't affect me. Whatever, it's, you know, it is what it is. So some people are passive when they hear it. Some people just deny it when they hear it. Say, oh, what a lot of nonsense. That's not true. Everything's fine. You're just crazy. You know, but those people that are in that zone, they haven't sincerely bothered to ask to want to know. They're not there. They're not in any state at all where they want to know the truth, and they're not going to know the truth. You are not going to save them. You are not going to convince them. You are not. Until they make the conscious decision to say, I want to know, they will not know. You can scream it. You can slap them around. You can do whatever you want to do to get them to wake up. You can wrestle with them like in They Live, trying to force the glasses on the guy's face to say, look what I see. They're everywhere. But they'll fight you, and you'll probably, even if they put the glasses on, they'll just take them off. They're not interested. They like the illusion. They like the lies. They like the narrative. They've been told it's comforting, it's comfortable, and they're happy there. And they probably benefited from the lie in some way. And you're going to take it all away from them. They'll rather just stay in blissful ignorance than know the truth, because they don't want to know. They'd rather not know. Yeah. And how are you supposed to change that? You can't change that. There's nothing you can do about it. And the sooner you kind of come to terms with this reality, the happier you can be. And you can move on and just focus on your own journey. And focus on the fact that you did ask. You are seeking. And there's plenty to learn. Go and do it. You know, either you called yourself, you've knocked, and then God has answered and given you the truth, or God has called you forward out of the world to tell you the truth. Either way, it's a blessing that you got that far. Focus on it. Okay? Don't worry about everybody else. God's working on them too. Or he's already given them ample opportunities and they've said no. That's what it kind of comes down to. Now, many people in the truth movement, as I made the distinction earlier, won't realize that it's God doing a work in them. They'll think it's just them, you know, watching videos on YouTube or something and do their own research, and they'll big themselves up and think they're so super smart figuring it all out, you know, or something like that. And they haven't got to the truth in Christ yet. When I was a truther, when I first discovered all this, the Christian perspective on it all was the last thing I looked at, because I didn't want to know. I was seeking the truth, but I wasn't ready for that yet. It seemed like God had to let me see and experience a lot of other things first before I was willing to knock on that door. And I received, you know, because I eventually did knock on the door. People will get there. Give them time if they're already on their journey to seeking truth. But if they haven't even bothered to sincerely make that step, then you're not going to get to them. It's a personal thing. And I understand the anguish. I really do. I know you want to save your loved ones. I know you want them to know the truth in everything. I know you want them to see the corruption all around them. And if you're a Christian, you want to bring them to the salvation in Jesus, and you want to get them there, and you want them to be in the kingdom with you in the new heaven and earth in the end of it all. And you want to share that love with them and that truth, you know, and that eternity. And you want these things. You want the good things for your family. But they don't see it that way. When they haven't asked, they see it as an intrusion on their life. They see you as an inconvenience. They see you as an enemy trying to ruin their good time. They see you as the police trying to shut down the party. They see you as a fly in the punch bowl, as I said last time, ruining everyone's good time. You know, they see you as a stick in the mud who just doesn't know how to have fun anymore. They see you as a friend who needs help, or no longer a friend at all. They don't have the truth in them or the desire for the truth in them. They don't care. They're not interested. They never were interested, and they won't be interested until either they make the choice and knock and seek, or God calls them out. It's in His time. He's in control. And all we can do is be a beacon of light, a signpost, a pool in an oasis in a desert, something to bring them to you. And then when they're ready, they'll drink, they'll knock, they'll follow the direction you're pointing them in, but you're just pointing them in the direction of the truth. Okay? You're not anything else. It's not, you know, and I know we're supposed to go out there and spread the good news as Christians and that sort of stuff. Yes, but it'll fall on many deaf ears, and you're not going to save everybody doing that either. You know, it's a humbling thing to realize. There's only so much we can actually do. We can't control other people. We're not responsible for other people's decisions either. Every individual is responsible for their own actions and their own choices. And you don't know what God has done in an individual's life or what point they're at or where they've come or how far they've come or not come at all. They could have already rejected God and they're done. He could have already ripped up the invitation to the wedding banquet and they're never coming and they're not interested and never will be. And they may be working for the enemy for all we know as well. The nebulous enemy. If you want to get New Age or Gnostic about that perspective, they're already an agent for the Matrix or something. I don't know how you want to describe it, but they've been given over to their reprobate mind and they're happy. And we don't want to hear that sometimes. It's upsetting. It is upsetting. I empathize completely. I'm not trying to give a doom and gloom message here. I'm not saying don't continue to preach the gospel if that's what you do, or don't continue to try and tell everybody about the corruption everywhere and go to your, you know, do whatever you need to do. If that's waving banners on the streets or flags on the streets or picket signs, or if that's going door to door, giving out tracts, or simply standing on a street corner screaming or making YouTube videos, keep doing those things because those things are necessary because they are information and they reach people in many ways. But just because you're doing those things doesn't mean the person listening is going to take it on board or care, and you need to learn to let it go. So I'm not trying to discourage people. Okay, if you want to try and tell people the truth, then do it. Because you don't know where people are at. Maybe people are more susceptible or are already seeking. Like they made the choice to seek, and you come along and you try and tell them, and they might be open. They're like, yeah, you know, I've been thinking about stuff like that. I've been wondering. I felt like something was off. Tell me more. Maybe they'll be like that, and great, you're in the right place at the right time to share more information. But if they're like, get away from me, I don't want to know, you should probably get away from them because they don't want to know. That's kind of what I'm saying here. They're not there yet. And God is always working. He's in control. I do believe this, you know. And if he hasn't chosen somebody and said, you're going to wake up whether you like it or not, because I need you. I need to use you for something in the grand scheme, you know. If he has chosen people, then great. You know, you can start telling them stuff probably and they'll listen. Because they've not got a choice. They're kind of on a forced... they've been shaken awake by God and God's chosen them out. Or they've made the choice themselves to sincerely seek. If they're not in any of those two positions, then you're not going to get to them. You're not. And there comes a point where you're just going to have to shake the dust off your feet and carry on. Even if we don't want to, even if that's painful to do because it's a loved one that we really sincerely want to know. And it comes down to us to move on and go tell other people and be patient. Maybe when they sincerely decide in their hearts to seek the truth, then they'll be open to listening to you. And they'll probably come to you first because you're the one that came to them first. But it's up to them. They said the ball's in their court once you make it known. Don't force it on them. Because I found the more you force these type of things as well, the more they dig their heels in. They're not going to budge on it. And if anything, because the truth is a weapon and you're coming along, you know, raining on their parade, they'll fight back in probably really destructive ways to your life. You know, tell your workplace, for example, or, you know, call the authorities on you saying you've lost your mind, things like that. I won't put it beyond people to do stuff like that. You know, you've got to be careful. Like people are crazy when they want to be, especially when they consider you a threat or you're attacking them. And people do some stuff, you know, and they have the whole world behind them to agree with them saying, yeah, that person has lost it, haven't they? You were right to call us. you know, we'll take care of him. Don't you worry. And they'll feel good about themselves, like they did a service, you know, and they got another crazy off the street in some way with spreading their dangerous ideas, you know. But like I said earlier, you're just going against the system that's a lie that they have benefited from, and they don't like that. Do you really want to ruin your life like that over somebody who is never going to be open to the idea? Or are you better off, like I said, moving on and continue to do your thing and seeking those who are also sincerely seeking, so you can help elevate them up to, you know, teach them more because you've been doing it longer. You know, so you're better off finding those people who are already open. And like I said, all we are signposts, and those outsiders who aren't seeking yet may look and see people who are seeking, who are in that zone of truth seeking, you know, and have made the choice, and they'll look at that group of people and saying, oh, well, what are they looking into? Maybe I should go and check it out. You can inspire other people. That's all we can kind of do. And this piece of advice, I'm saying it in love, because I just don't want people to exacerbate themselves and destroy relationships by pushing too hard, because they think they can get through to them eventually if I just try hard enough and I say hard enough, I push hard enough. And I know you're doing it out of real love, because you want to help people that are close to you. But again, the tip is, you can't save everybody. Some people have just not made the choice to want to know, and you can't make that choice for them. So there we go, guys. There's another tips for you, a tips for truthers. I'll come back next Friday with another one. I'm sorry if these are a bit meandering, because I do kind of do them off the cuff, you know. I feel the more authentic when I do it this way. I'm just trying to speak from my own experience and relay as much as I can to maybe the new guys out there who haven't quite experienced these things yet, or are coming up against these problems, which we all come up against, you know. And my advice isn't gospel truth. It's not the final word in any of this. It's just what I've got so far. So take it for what it is. Thanks for listening. And as always, God bless.
I want you to get together.